just resigned to their suffering in a kind of fatalistic manner. No, to the contrary, they prayed. And then the Lord could bring about a turnabout in their lot. For King Hezekiah did get better. He was allowed to live for another 15 years. And the Apostle Peter was freed from prison in a most miraculous way. And it became very clear that the Lord God responded to the prayers of his children. For the Lord our God is not a stone wall. It's not of stone. To the contrary, he's a God of consolation. Without being obliged in any way, the Lord shows his love to us, his children. And we may know through faith, by believing what God has revealed in his word, that the Lord also loves you and me. And he does take pity on us. His heart reaches out to us. And when we call on him in the midst of our troubles, well, then we may know that his eyes full of love, that they look upon us, that they see us in our circumstances. And the Lord our God then has an open ear for all our difficulties. Now, beloved, it's clear that the Lord does listen to our prayers and that he does answer them. Now, still, for our own good, the Lord does not always respond to answer them as we see fit. That's something the Bible teaches us as well. We see that with David, he prayed days and night, but the Lord still took that son away from him. And Paul too, he prayed a number of times, but the Lord did not take away that thorn out of his flesh, as he called it. And similarly, the Lord makes it clear in the course of our lives that this is the way we have to go. To accept that. To accept that course in faith. With that sickness, with that difficult disease, with that painful burden. And it is then our duty to accept that. To accept it in faith, in full reliance on the Lord, that he will make everything well in his time. Well, that's what we see with David, that's what we see with Paul. But when his son did die, David gets up. And then he goes to the house of the Lord. And then he kneels down before the Lord. And then he confesses what God does, that's done well. He knows best. Father knows best. And then he goes home. And then he's even able to comfort his spouse, his wife. And Paul can even say that he can boast. Boast in his weaknesses and hardships. That's how he can even rejoice in his suffering, knowing that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And this hope, he goes on, does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Well-known words from Romans 5. Romans 5, the first five verses. No, then we do not understand it all. To the contrary, oftentimes we do not understand as to why some of us have to suffer so much. It's only the odd time that we learn some of the reasons for it. For example, with Joseph, Jacob's son, the fact that he was sold by his brothers to Egypt and unjustly imprisoned by Potiphar. That he was nevertheless used by the Lord to have Joseph save his chosen people from starvation. And so once in a while, David too was allowed to see it. Day and night, David felt God's heavy hand upon him. His bones, he said, wasted away. He groaned all day long. But then it became clear to him. There is sin in my life. Sin that needs to be confessed. Now we sang about that earlier in Psalm 32. And sin which he actually did not want to confess. And he understood in the end, unless I repent and confess my sin, God's heavy hand and his just judgment will continue to rest on me. And once David confessed his sins, he became a most happy man. and made him burst out in a song of jubilation. Blessed is he whose transgression has been forgiven, whose sins are covered. And blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no longer deceit. Well, beloved, there are times that the Lord lets us indeed see something of the reasons for our troubles, for the afflictions that come our way. They are there, not without good reason. And very often, of course, he does not give us the reason. Then we simply have to learn to believe and confess God loves me, and he knows what's best for me to make us more dependent on him. Then in faith, we take to heart those words of Romans 8, that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And then we also do not want to forget those words of 1 Corinthians 10:13, that he will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear, for he always provides us a way out so that we are able to stand up under it. Then it remains a fact that we don't understand the half of it. And we do not need to be ashamed either for that. For that's the way it is in this life. In this life, we only see in part, as Paul says, as through a dim glass. In fact, he accepts his ignorance with respect to the Lord's doings in his and other people's life is wise in the eyes of the Lord. After all, who are we to understand the mind of the Lord, the one who has not just a rule, a family, a congregation, a nation, but the whole wide world, the whole of this universe, in which he has given us such a special place as his children. And therefore, brothers and sisters, which very much includes you, young people, boys and girls, let us continue to believe in the Lord God, the creator of heaven and earth. Let us believe that he is our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us hold fast to his infallible word from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. That is his word of promise. For that's the only way to find peace for our souls with respect to his divine will in our and other people's lives. And let us remember that he has revealed himself of all people to us. And as a father who truly cares, a father who guides us to our eternal destination. Yes, when necessary, via hardships, sufferings, all manner of difficulties. It's for our good. After all, he is our God and Father and our Lord, our only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave his son into death in order to give us life, eternal life, life that never ends. And that's why we keep on praying, Father, who art in heaven, your will be done. And when we keep on praying like that, we will also then learn how to follow him from day to day, to keep going with him, the one who took us by the hand. We do so obediently, respectfully, reverently, while knowing ourselves very safe and secure with him, our faithful Father, who is the Almighty and powerful and eternal God. So that's in the first place that there is then that respectful acceptance of God's sovereign will in our life. That first of all. This brings us to that second, the call to accept and live by God's revealed will. His will as revealed in his word and his commandments, a summary of which we hear every Lord's Day morning. We have seen then that all our prayers is a matter of submitting our will to God's will, and that we are called to do what he tells us to do, what he commands. It means that we show ourselves to be faithful in our work, the work that we are called to do here on earth. Yeah, at home, at school, at the job, in our own particular life situation. In short, to do what he, the Lord, asks us to do. For doesn't he want us truly to live a holy life, a life separate from what the world thinks it can offer? Now, Paul explains such a God-pleasing life to us. For example, in 1 Thessalonians 4, and also in Titus. As people of God, we are called to live a holy and honorable life, respectful in every way, a life that is progressive, a matter of continuous reformation, a life of more and more in keeping with God's revealed will. And that's how your will be done, has to become concrete, be manifested in our everyday life, has to come out into the open, be expressed in all our words and deeds. It comes out in how we do our daily work, for example, how we enter a courtship, how we prepare for marriage, how we deal also with loneliness, and how we guide our children, and how we treat our parents, how we spend the money entrusted to us, how we drive in traffic, how we deal with our sinful desires. No, then it's not easy to do what is good in the eyes of the Lord God, for our will is depraved. We're a bunch of selfish individuals. In Genesis 8, verse 21, we even read that the Lord says, man's every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And then we should know that the Lord says this immediately following that terrible universal flood. He says it with a view to that pious Noah and his family. Oh yes, we people like so very much to be our own boss. To ourselves, like to determine as to what's right and wrong, what's good and bad. Well, the truth is that we are inclined to all evil and therefore unable to determine those things ourselves. Unable, yes, but also unwilling. There is not a man, really, who truly seeks after God consistently, from day to day, from hour to hour. Now, all of us actually want to go our own way. And that is, Paul had to conclude in Romans 3, no one is righteous, no, not one. In fact, we like it just fine to go our own way. By nature, we like to do what's wrong, what's sinful, to be ourselves, to live up as we see fit. Now, who doesn't? If you don't, well, then you're a very rare species, and that's what you are, as children of God, in the midst of this world, in this our nation, in this our town. People will laugh. People will mock at our so-called religious hang-ups, at our reformed Christian way of life. They do no longer understand us anymore. They do not want to take us seriously anymore. That's what we experience, don't we? And yet, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, things can get worse still. Presently, we are still tolerated. But the attitude of the unbelievers are becoming increasingly intolerant. Especially when we keep on speaking out for Christ as the only Savior of the world, as the Lord of lords and King of kings. Just imagine. And then against this present death culture, a culture in which abortion, alternate lifestyles, ungodly lifestyles, become the order of the day. Yeah, beloved, what about it? Are we able to close ranks with the martyrs of the past? Do we hold on to our confession and say, and do what's pleasing to the Lord our God and to the Lord our dear Savior? Yeah, even if it will cost us dear. Even our very life, as so many brothers and sisters, think of the Middle East. Or are we ready to throw in the towel and go along with the world? Yes, join this world with its death-like culture. Still, as children of God, we are called to forsake the world and to lead a God-fearing life. We hear it every time again if someone is baptized. To put off our old nature and to lead a God-fearing life. And the Lord makes that quite clear to us. For example, in Matthew 16, We may think that we can overcome the world with its worldly lifestyle by being our own man, by not giving account to anyone, by living exactly the way we see fit. Yet the Lord tells us that one day we have to give up on it all. One day we will die. No one will escape death. And the Lord Jesus knew that. And that's why he points to another way. The way he went himself. A way full of obstacles. A way on which he was ignored, on which he was rejected. And the Lord could have done something about it. Without a doubt, he could have compromised. He could have presented himself as one rabbi among many, as just one of the political leaders opposed to the Romans. But as we know, the Lord Jesus didn't go that route. His kingdom was not of this earth, he said. And that's why he went the way of truth, divine truth, which was the way of denial, the way of the cross. He had come to do his Father's will, a will that does not tolerate a way of compromise, of accommodation. Certainly, in the eyes of the people, that was a most foolish way. Even his own disciple Peter said, "This shall never happen to you." Still, the Lord Jesus kept going that way. For he knew that was the way he had to go. And that's why he went that way. That was all there was to it. For it was his heartfelt desire to do his Father's will. God's law was engraved on his heart. Now, hadn't he come to fulfill that law, that good and righteous law, completely? Hadn't he come to earth for that expressed purpose to do what we were unable to do ever since we lost paradise, in order then also to regain paradise? That's why he went all the way, right up to the end. And he did it for us, for you and for me. But then it should also be clear, is it, that we should follow him. That also we should travel that way of obedience to God, our Father. And it means then the way of denial, self-denial. For we servants are not more than our Master, the Lord Jesus. We are called to go that way. And in the process, learn then to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow our Savior. Our cross is a very strong image. We sometimes say that everyone has so to bear his own cross. Now, everybody knows of difficult times, of times of adversity. Still, the word cross actually means an execution of a death sentence. And therefore, following that way of the Lord Jesus could cost us dear. It can even mean our death. For his words actually suggest that we have already a rope around our neck. That's how much it can cost us if we do the will of our Heavenly Father. Come with me. That's quite something. Isn't it not? Yes, just about unthinkable in our present, still comfortable situation. It all becomes less and less in our country, Canada. So, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, how necessary for us to pray this petition. We ought to pray it every day. Keep it in mind with our prayers, to keep that model prayer in mind. At the same time, beloved, what a comfort is here. For that way of life after the Lord Jesus is certainly not an hopeless undertaking. To the contrary. For we pray, is it not, your will be done as it is in heaven? For doesn't that mean that what seems to be an impossible assignment here on earth has in fact has become a full reality up there in heaven? For there above you, you have already a multitude of people who do not sin at all anymore, who now obey Father's will perfectly, just like those angels. In heaven, Father's will is carried out perfectly. Truly, in heaven, everyone loves God. Everyone loves the neighbor perfectly. And that goal of perfection, beloved, we are called to pursue also here, right here on earth. And to that end, we pray every day, your will be done on earth also, as it, or rather, on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, also on earth. And that's why we do what the Lord Jesus tells us to do. Cross the line in every aspect of our life. There's a few to our down-to-earth life of every day at home, on the job, at school, and in all the contexts we already have or will come to meet in our life. And we pray, your will be done. Now with a few to our different wishes and desires, so that we may take our stand in this world as God's children. That we take our stand on the basis of the Bible, on the basis of God's revealed will. And when we pray this petition then, let us not forget that we pray to an almighty God. Pray in the presence of a most powerful Savior who has been assigned his position as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Nothing happens without his will and permission. So let us not forget that the Lord Jesus Christ is busy for us as the Good Shepherd and as the one who prays, intercedes for us. He knows us by name, all of us, without exception. He knows for what he prays. For he knows our weaknesses, he knows our struggles. He was right here on earth. He prays so that we may know ourselves separated and liberated from this present world full of sin, separated and liberated from its death culture, from its ungodly lifestyle of a meaningless, purposeless life. Yes, he will guide us by his Spirit and word, and that's how our Savior truly helps us. So, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, let us then keep on praying in this our present struggle of faith. Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Shall let us pray that every day, so that every day we may come to deny our own will and do his good and perfect will. Yes, let us continue to deny ourselves. For he who denies himself will also find something really great. For didn't the Lord Jesus say, here on earth, and it has been recorded for our salvation, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me, for my sake, he will find it. Yes, he will have found the true life, the life everlasting, a glorious discovery, is it not? Here we are dismissed, considered of no consequence. But thanks to God's grace in Jesus Christ, we will inherit an eternal kingdom. So, that great and glorious discovery should compel us then every day to pray, Father in heaven, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that as a result, sin in my life will lose more and more terrain. More and more in our lives, in our service to God. Yeah, to the point that he will become indeed our one and all. Amen. So let us then now sing of Psalm 143, stanzas 1.